Peace, God.
Peace to the God.
How you, God?
I'm studying 120 right now. Call me back at the God hour.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Yo.
Yo, yo.
What up?
What's good? What's up?
Chengdu. So.
Chengdu.
So, let's start from the beginning. Like, why, you know, how did this all come about, you know?
Are we live right now? Is this?
We can be live. Recorded. Yes, we can be live.
Yeah, just. Or do you have like questions lined up, or do you want?
Oh yeah.
You want me to just like.
Yeah, but.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, we'll just dive right in. I mean, I know
cool.
I know you've told me like you know how it all started, but yeah. Let go.
All right. Yeah. So how this all came about? The city of Chengdu, which is this giant city of 16 million people in China, it's not a very touristy city, but it's a really, really nice city. So they were looking to, it was the first year of this race called the Tanafu Greenway Sup Open. It was the first year they're putting it on, and they really wanted to make it a big official international race and get a lot of their local Chinese paddlers involved. So in order to kind of attract it to get Chinese people to come, they have all, I don't know exactly even where all this money comes from, but they have a ton of money. So they wanted to pick paddlers internationally. So they picked, about, I think, seven men and three women from the U.S. They picked, they picked random racers from countries, or basically paddlers that are already competing on what's called the Euro Tour, which is a big circuit in Europe. So they kind of selected people that were competing on that and a bunch of Americans, and I just happened to be one of the Americans selected based off just some of my results in California and stuff like that. So yeah, they selected myself and a whole bunch of other people to all expenses paid to go race and compete and share the stoke and give clinics over in China. So that's kind of how it all started.
Yeah, that's so cool. That's so insane. That's so cool. For the record, Chengdu. I had never heard of this city, and there's 16 million people that live there. Just think about how insane that is.
Most people, like, even some of the international racers that I was with had even raced in China before and had never even heard of Chengdu. Like I was saying, it's not a touristy city, but it's a very modern, very advanced city that they just want people to start coming to. It's actually the home of the famous giant pandas, which China is so well known for.
Right.
The giant panda research and breeding center there. So that attracts a lot of people to the city, but that's pretty much all they have to offer to tourists, besides the fact that it's a really, really nice, clean city. I've never seen a city so nice and clean. I mean, in 5 days of exploring the city, I saw one homeless person. I was blown away.
Whoa.
And yeah, one homeless person, and I wasn't even totally sure that they were homeless. But I think the thing that they do in China, I mean, obviously it's a communist country, so they run things a little bit differently.
Right.
But it seems like they took anyone that might have been potentially homeless or out of a job, and they just like put them to work, like cleaning up the city. Like there's no trash anywhere. It was pretty amazing for such a giant city. But I mean, just the level of hiring, there's no like small apartment buildings or homes or houses. It's just all like endless high rise 30 floor apartment buildings everywhere.
But like nice, not like projects.
I mean, some of them were a little project, like it's like any big city. There were, you know, some lower income looking homes that, you know, that could be compared to like project buildings. But, you know, for the most part, it was all, you know, as a whole, just a really clean, nice city.
Word. Which is
another.
Okay.
Well, another random, just a thing to throw out there about China, which I didn't realize, and a lot of people don't, is that 46% of the population still smokes cigarettes. and you can smoke them anywhere. So, like, we walk into the hotel lobby, and there's people just hucking darts all around us. It's kind of crazy.
So, what's blowing my mind is you're telling me how clean it is.
Yeah.
What, I mean, isn't China known for being, like, crazy polluted and the air being kind of polluted and...
Yeah, so the pollution was real. I had never seen such bad air pollution. Just, you know, it's hazy it's hazy and foggy. You know, the sun did peek its way through a little bit while we were there, but for the most part, it's kind of this overcasty haze smog that's all pretty much air pollution.
Right.
After we all raced, all of the international racers were, like, coughing, and, like, we all basically agreed that if we felt like we... I just smoked a pack of cigarettes because just the air was just not great.
Yikes, that's intense.
Yeah. So
I mean,
and it's funny too because you'd think you'd see more people wearing the mask that you see, but not, you know, maybe like one out of every 10 people, or maybe even less, actually were wearing those masks on their face. So that was kind of interesting. We thought we'd see more of those.
Right, and. It doesn't matter. I mean, people keep smoking.
Yeah, so what I was told, one of our hosts was telling me, he said about 10 to 15 years ago, it was closer to 70% of the population that smoked cigarettes. And now it's down to, you know, like just under 50%.
That's so wild. That's any vapes?
Yeah.
Vapes or it's all, you know...
It's kind of all just classic cigarettes. Maybe people were vaping, but that wasn't really like a common thing that you saw over there.
Right. Right. Holy.
They did sell them at the convenience stores and stuff, but regular cigarettes was definitely what everyone was smoking everywhere.
Right. Right. And did you see the sun once? You were there a week, right?
Yeah, we were there for like 5 days.
5 days.
The sun definitely peaked out, but even there was just so much. I think one of the afternoons it did clear up to some blue skies, but most of the time it was like this kind of hazy, smogginess. That it kind of was. It reminded me of like June gloom in Los Angeles, but a little worse.
Oh, geez. Wow.
Yeah, it made Los Angeles air quality look much better than it, you know.
Right.
Than it actually is.
Right, right, right. Now, besides that, what's like the temperature wise? I just picture it being like humid and hot.
Yeah, so it was humid, like comparable temperatures to what California currently is, Los Angeles area.
Yeah.
But just a little more humid and a little more muggy. And we did get a couple little random rain showers, but I'd say you could compare it to like maybe like a not quite as humid and muggy as Florida, or maybe like some, you know, kind of like East Coast New York summer.
New York,
or
yeah.
Or like, yeah.
Yeah.
But pretty good. It's also, it was like their summer over there, I'm pretty sure. So it's comparable to like a U.S. summer.
True, true, true. Now, the competitions. How many different races were there? Was there events every day? What was that like?
Yeah, so we flew out of Los Angeles on a Tuesday red eye. Finally got to the city of Chengdu like Thursday morning. It was a grind of travel, but once we got there, they gave us kind of Thursday to kind of chill, get acquainted a little bit. And then Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we were right into stuff. So Friday was a big day where like all the Chinese people that were coming out of town could come and register their racer packages. And then we did like a big like athlete introduction on Friday afternoon. And then we did big group clinics, which was kind of fun. So there was roughly like 17 of us internationals, and there must have, all in all, there was over 200 local Chinese that actually raced.
Wow.
But on the Friday, there was anywhere from 100 to 200 that came out that wanted lessons and clinics that we were offering. So
it was
kind of a trip. They broke us up into groups. So I had, you know, like 10 or 12 people that I was giving a clinic to. And maybe of that 10 or 12, three spoke broken English. The rest didn't speak any English. So it was kind of fun playing charades, paddling around with this group, just kind of giving them tips and showing them proper technique. But it was a fun afternoon. So that was Friday afternoon. And then Saturday was the big pro races along. It was the pro technical race along with all the open technical races. So basically, a quick rundown of what a technical race is. So in paddling, there's either sprint, technical racing, or long distance. So for technical racing, it's usually anywhere from 3 to 10K with a lot more of like just rapid pace and turning a lot of buoys. So the technicalness comes from having the skills to turn these buoys as fast as possible without losing much speed.
Yeah.
And to continue that course. So we raced on Saturday of supposed to be a 6K, but it ended up being a 4K technical race. So we did that Saturday morning, which was super fun, just a good action-packed race. And then after we did our technical race Saturday morning, there was like, I don't even remember how many heats of open age group technical races. And then after all that racing, all that racing went from like 9 a.m. Saturday until like 5 p.m. Saturday. So it was a full day.
Wow.
So after we did our races, we went out on the water. There was like 60, you know, little groms, little kids, ages like 4 to 10.
What'd you call them?
Groms. It's a California / water sports term for little kids.
Groms?
Yeah, you never heard that?
Never heard that one. That's a new one.
So funny, yeah. It's like, you say that word in California and everybody knows what you're talking about. But yeah, groms are little kids.
Okay.
So we did, there's like 60 kids, like some of them 4, some of them 8, some of them 10, who all went out on this big, they just did one lap of like the 4-lap race that we did. And we all just went out and kind of like pushed them along and made sure they were okay. So a lot of fun there. And then Saturday afternoon, this is the funniest part. They had us do a huge autograph signing. And we kept joking around because we kept saying we were famous for a weekend. But these people, I've never seen people so excited to take selfies, to get like everything they had autographed by us. It was definitely an experience for us.
That's awesome. That's awesome though. Like, you know,
you
felt like Kobe for a day, you know. That's pretty.
No, yeah. I must have taken like 500 pictures with them, signed like all this stuff. They couldn't get enough. It was cool to see. Just not only how excited they were for us to be there, but just how into the sport they were. Some of them were so passionate about paddling and racing. It was cool to see.
And when did that come about? Like, how many years ago has it been a thing?
The sport of stand-up paddling is still in its infancy. People have been doing organized races for just over 10 years, so it's really still a new sport. I couldn't tell you how long they've been racing in China. There's not many races, but, there was tons of people that came out with their own boards. So I'd say probably the last 3, 4, 5 years, it's really been booming in Asia. In China as well.
Okay. And is Chengdu, is that like the Mecca of China for stand-up paddle, kind of like how California is?
No. So it's, again, back to me saying how they're really trying to get the city to be a tourist spot.
Okay.
And this was one of their ways. So it's actually we raced on a lake that was, it was kind of nice, but it's a man-made lake. The deepest part of the lake is up to like my shoulders. So it wasn't like a, you know, it's not like we were along the coast racing in the ocean. We were in some man-made lake. But it was a nice lake. I mean, all around you were like big buildings, so it was very scenic. But
yeah.
By no means a water sports city. By no means at all.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it just looks like all these Asian cities, they just look so like futuristic and high-tech and stuff. You took that one Insta story of that building, yeah, which you called the biggest building you've ever seen, and it just looked like a mile long.
Yeah, so it's called the Global Center, for anyone that wants to fact check me on this. But it's by square yards or feet or whatever, it's the biggest building in the world.
Oh, it legit and is. You weren't exaggerating.
It legit is. Yeah. Not by height, by you know, size. And it was the biggest building in the world. Like, we must have spent over 2 hours in there and saw like 1/50th of the place. So it's basically like a giant. And not only is it the biggest, like, it's the nicest, like, it's literally a mall. It's a mall, a water park, a hotel, and so much more, all in one giant building.
So it's basically like, you know, the Xanadu at the Meadowlands? You know when you're on the turnpike and you're driving by the Meadowlands, where MetLife Stadium is and everything, and there's that big eyesore of a building? I don't know if you've ever noticed that, but...
Maybe.
It's called the Xanadu. They've been building it for over 10 years. But it's exactly what this building is already. Like, they wanted to make a shopping mall and, what'd you say, amusement park and all that crap. So, keep going.
Yeah. No, it was crazy. I mean, even just, like, the details of the design in this place, like, everything was, like, marble. Like, the elevators were, like, probably not real gold, but like gold, like shiny gold plated. It was just like, we literally spent 2.5 hours walking around, getting our minds blown, wondering like how much the place cost to build, like how they even designed it, like how they went about it. Like, there was a heat within the water park. It was like one of the biggest wave pools like in the world.
Jesus.
Like, it was just, yeah, everything about the place was just like blowing our minds.
So it's like Palisades Center times like 100 basically.
Yeah, I forget the stat, but there was some stat about like it shitting on like Mall of America. Like, you could put like many of them inside of it.
Jesus,
wow! Yeah,
who the freak knew?
Yeah, and it was like it overlooked the lake, which was kind of cool too. So like the 3 days we spent, like most of the time we were at this lake doing the event, like you could just see this giant building. It was
right,
cool.
Right. So that sounds like you didn't have to, and I'm sure was the hotel close to all that.
Yeah, everything was, I mean, at times there was a little bit of traffic, so our commute would take a little bit longer, but I mean, everything was within, like, a couple miles from our hotel to the event site to, like, anywhere we wanted to go. It was cool. Like, we could just walk out our hotel and, like, walk around the city, kind of like a New York.
For sure. And I know you got into the food a little bit.
Yeah, the food was a trip in itself.
So you know, the big thing is, the big, you know, what everyone says about China is you can't really get the Chinese food that you get in America in China. That's like a Chinese-American. Is that true?
Yeah, so true. So when we get there, the cool thing was, like, myself and our California crew, we were all being, like, escorted around and eat meals and stayed with all the international people. So we had a nice group of people that we were traveling and doing it all with. So they were kind of taking us to certain places just to make it easier. So they'd bring us all to, like, so the big traditional food over there is hot pot, which is basically like you sit at like a round table and they just keep bringing you out dishes. And
oh, I love that.
The table kind of spins and you can kind of grab what you want. And it was cool. Like, our first meal, like, it was really good. We were all like, oh, this is really cool. Second meal, we're like, oh, it's still really good, but we're kind of getting tired of it. And then they, like, by the third, fourth, and fifth meal, they just literally kept bringing us to the same style of food, same type of places. And by the fourth and fifth meal, we were like, fuck, like, I can't even smell this food. And the food has such a distinct, like, ethnic smell and taste. You walk around the city and every restaurant and it's like smells the same, is like cooking the same stuff.
Right.
So by like the third day, we just, like, couldn't even walk out our hotel without being like, oh, I can't smell that. Like, need some normal food.
Right.
So, like, it was cool at first, you know, experiment and, you know, test out some of these cool different foods. But it got old after, like, you know, 2.5-3 days.
Yeah.
And, like, just to kind of describe what it was basically, like, hot soups and random meats. So, like, you could tell duck. Or like, oh, that's beef. But some of you are like, oh, is this dog? I don't know.
Like, oh, God.
So, and they eat dog over there, like.
Of course,
you
know, yeah.
Like, so it got a little interesting. Another crazy thing that was blowing all our minds was they don't serve anything cold. So, like, you couldn't get a cold glass of water. Not even, like, let alone, not even, like, ice. Like, not you couldn't even get it, like, just a little bit cold. So, like, they'd bring out meals and they'd bring you hot water or hot green tea. And then, like, breakfast at the hotel, literally it was like we were all cracking up trying to use Google Translate and explain to her that we wanted ice water with ice.
Yeah.
The orange juice was hot. Like, the water that
Ew.
Served at breakfast was hot. And, like, that thing in China is, and I guess a big part of it is that, it helps with digestion, like the warm liquids help you when digesting.
Okay.
So even like, even if you go to like a 7-Eleven, like even like the fridges that have like Coca-Cola or Sprite or cold drinks are like, they're not hot, but they're not necessarily cold. It's like room temperature. So like,
right.
Even, yeah. So even if you wanted a cold drink from somewhere like that, you have to literally like get it room temperature. And then like when we're at the airport, on our way home, we like tried again in Beijing because we thought, you know, bigger airport to try and get cold drinks. So for them to get us literally to get ice water, they had to like, well, whoever, wherever they went somewhere to get a big bucket of ice and they had to mix the ice with hot water to make ice water for us.
The fuck?
It was like, so, yeah. So that was a big thing. Like just getting a cold drink was like a battle.
So no fruit, no salads, nothing cold, like nothing like.
So the fruit
food-wise.
There was the fruit was actually the fruit was obviously a little cold because they had to keep that cold.
Sure,
but there was and then like they don't really do that. Like getting just like salads or greens, like that was a mission. Like we couldn't.
Wow, that's weird.
Yeah.
That's weird. I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, and there was like. Restaurant on the street where you could get like some like noodle like an udon soup like with noodles and stuff.
Right.
But yeah, you can't there was no like classic American Chinese food like you get here.
Yeah. But I could see how that can get old after a while because, you know, when you're in America you don't eat the same cuisine every day.
Yeah.
It was
really funny too on that we went to that Global Center
yeah.
on our fourth day, our second to last day. And, like, we split, there's maybe, like, 12 of us that went. And we split up into, like, three little groups just to do different things. And we went there, and we were looking for food. And everyone went their separate ways to get food. And then we all just ended up meeting at McDonald's and just stuffing our face with McDonald's. Fun fact, McDonald's tastes the same anywhere in the world. So if you're ever in a jam, just go to McDonald's.
There you go.
Yeah, it was so good.
So wait, so this place is obviously massive. The McDonald's was the only fast food, like at least American fast food, in the whole place.
No, we saw actually the one fast food place we saw the most was KFC.
No kidding.
I guess KFC, Pizza Hut, and McDonald's were the ones we. They weren't like everywhere, but those are the ones we saw like multiple of.
Okay.
And then we did see it. We saw a Subway, saw like a Burger King. There's a lot of Starbucks. Starbucks is all over.
Of course, yeah. Wow.
But yeah.
But no Dunkin', no Wendy's, no Taco Bell.
No, I mean, they could have those, but we didn't see any of them.
True. Yeah. Wow. What else? What else about Chengdu? Oh, I mean... Was there any buzz while you were there, like about, you know, like this being an Olympic sport sometime soon? I know you and I have talked about that actually on a previous pod.
There wasn't buzz there, but there is buzz about the sport eventually becoming getting into the Olympics.
Right.
So the Pan American Games, which is like a huge, like, it's not an Olympic thing, but it's like, it's basically like the Olympics for the Americas. So they actually just had stand up paddle surfing and racing in the Pan Am Games this past July, which is like a huge thing. Like when things get into the Pan Am Games, there's like a really good chance that they'll eventually make it into the Olympics.
Yeah.
So regular surfing, traditional surfing, is in the next Olympics.
That's right.
So that's another really good sign that stand-up paddle racing will also be in, not the next one, but potentially the one after. So what is it, 8 years maybe? So we'll see.
Yeah, and when's it in L.A.? Isn't it in L.A. in... when was the last Olympics?
What is that?
2018,
2024.
Right?
I want to say 26? 24 or something. Yeah, something. I want to say, yeah, in two Olympics it'll be in L.A. I'm not totally sure.
Yeah, because when did we last have the Olympics? 2018, right?
I don't even know. There's one coming up, no? Maybe 2022?
Yeah, so 2022 and 2022. So I feel like 2026 might be, or 2032, whatever.
Yeah.
But by then, I'm sure it'll definitely be in there. It should be in there.
That'd be
dope.
Whenever they add a new sport like that, they got to take, you know, a sport that's potentially been in the Olympics for a long time. They got to kind of take a sport or two out. So we'll see what they end up pulling. But it's crazy how it works, because the Olympics, it's all based on, like, when they pick sports, a lot of it's based on, like, the size of the sport. You know, like, they pay for most of the travel and expenses. So
right.
to take a sport like baseball, and, you know, it's so expensive because you're taking all those positions, all those players. So some of the sports like baseball, soccer, and they take up a lot of those slots because kind of people. So
yeah,
interesting to see what they eliminate and or what they cut back on. So
for sure.
Yeah,
that's what's up. Now, will you be going back? Like, is there talk of?
Yeah, so this was the first one they did over there, like this first of this race, and it was, you know, from all of us, it's this huge success. People that had to do it, and like the amount of, you know, local Chinese news and whatever. So we're hoping that it becomes an annual thing that they just keep inviting us back to.
Nice. That's dope.
But yeah, and for me, it was really motivating just to see how I up against, you know, guys that travel the world doing this. So it gave me a lot of motivation to continue, and even I'm looking into going to Europe next summer and doing maybe two or three weeks of the Euro Tour, which would be like two or three races over there, just to, you know, continue it up.
Yeah, that's so awesome. And what's so great about the sport is I feel like age is not a factor. And speaking of age, someone's going to be 30 in 2 days.
Yeah,
isn't that crazy?
I'll be on Catalina Island with 25 fifth graders.
Wait, what? What's that about?
We do like an outdoor ed trip. So each grade does like 3 days somewhere, and like you just do like outdoor. So I'm doing 3 days on Catalina with our fifth graders tomorrow, Thursday, and Friday. Should be fun.
And do you guys stay over there, or you just take a ferry to and from?
Yeah, so we'll ferry over the morning, and then we spend the day and the night Wednesday, day and the night Thursday, and then the day on Friday, and come back Friday.
Wow.
Yeah, it's fun. We do like kayaking, snorkeling, hiking, rock climbing. Should be cool.
School's got some bucks, huh?
Yeah, well, I mean, the parents that have the bucks, it's a separate fee on top of the crazy tuition they all pay.
Right, right. I got to get to Catalina. That seems like
Catalina is like one of my favorite places in California.
Well, speaking of California, I'll be out there in a month, and we're going to Santa Barbara, which I've also heard from people who live in California is their favorite place in the state. Yeah. So I'm really pumped about that.
Yeah, Santa Barbara is one of the more expensive places to live in California, but it's one of the more beautiful. You have like dramatic mountains that are really close that make the scenery just look even more epic.
Yeah.
You got the ocean, Santa Barbara's
and
really
the wine,
good place.
And the wine and Never Neverland.
For sure. Can't wait.
So LeBron, your Lakers, what do you think? We're almost there.
I was listening to some radio show the other day, and I couldn't agree more with the guy. He was saying that the Lakers can either be championship contenders or miss out on the playoffs. Like, it could really go either way.
I don't think it'll go that bad. I think they'll...
I mean, all it would really take is, like, LeBron and or AD or both getting some injuries.
Right.
I mean, they're both very injury prone, obviously, like LeBron in his old age, and AD is just shown to
always hurt. Yeah,
always hurt. So it could either go where they stay healthy and they kill it, or they suffer some injuries and have some trouble. But I think between them and the Clippers, it's going to be tough to not be watching basketball in LA.
Right. I know. LA right now is kind of, I mean, it already has kind of been, you know, I hate to say it, being from New York and loving the Knicks and the Garden, but LA is kind of like the mecca of basketball, or at least the NBA right now. Between the Lakers and Clippers possibly being the two best teams in the league, and all the stars and all the players that like live there and, you know, train there in the off season. You know, LA is really like just like a fun place for that. So that's gonna be exciting watching. I know Paul George isn't starting the season, but he'll be there eventually, and Kawhi will be on load management, but they'll be one of the best, and you know, the Lakers are gonna be fun. Man, it's gonna be some good stuff. You gotta get some ticks. You gotta go to some. I'm sure Clipper games are probably expensive as hell now.
Yeah, I'm interested to see, because you know, even with Blake Griffin and CP3 and Draymond, DeAndre, you could go to a Clipper game for $12,
right?
Tickets wise, at least.
Yeah.
And the same, you could try to go to a Lakers game the next night when they were tanking with Kobe, and the same seat would be $75.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to see if they jack up the Clipper prices or keep them moderate. I think with Bomber, he'll probably try and keep them affordable, which is a smart move.
Right. At least until they move to, are they still moving to Inglewood and building an arena?
Yeah, I believe so. I know they're building the football stadium. Is that the same?
Right.
Are they going to play in the same place?
Probably the same area, I got to think. You know, it would be okay. like a Meadowlands type with a stadium and arena.
LA is an interesting place in that, like, there are so many good, awesome sports and sports teams. But it, you know, if you're not talking, if you're not right in it with people that are all about sports, you'd never know.
Right.
You know, like it's funny. Like, people are passionate about their sports, but at the same time, there are so many people that could give about sports in LA. So it's an interesting place.
Yeah, people from all over the place, all types of people. Where, I mean, you get that in New York too, but. You know, because of the weather here, and you know, it's definitely quick, more diehards.
Quick random fact: I saw more Yankee hats in China than I did any other sport or sports team. That was funny.
Yeah, I believe that. I mean, I saw some poll that the Yankee hat or the Yankee symbol is the most popular hat and logo, sports logo in the world, and you know, it makes sense.
Couple Laker Dodger stuff, but. Not compared to the Yankee hats I saw.
Yeah, I gotta imagine there's probably zero NFL, probably a good amount of baseball, good amount of basketball. That's probably it. Those are, I feel like, the sports. Like, basketball has become incredibly huge there, obviously because of Kobe and now Marbury.
Yeah.
Marbury's.
And weren't those the World Games just in Beijing also?
Oh, the FIBA Games? Were they in Beijing?
I believe so.
They might
Don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure that they were in Beijing.
I thought they were in Europe for some reason. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah, but that's dope, dude. That's awesome. That's good shit,
yeah.
Man. I can't wait to come out and paddle. I haven't paddled in a minute,
yeah.
So.
Yeah, we're going to get some good paddling in, go on a... I'd like to do like a leg buster of a hike.
Yeah, we'll see what we can do. You know, what we can squeeze in.
Yeah.
See what we can squeeze in when we're there. For your birthday, are you doing like over the weekend? Are you any plans?
We just this past weekend, because Bella's birthday was last Wednesday,
right?
So our birthdays are only a week apart. So we did a couple dinners. Did a family dinner Sunday night with the California Gabriels, and did one last week with Bella's family. And then we celebrated a bit. We rented a Duffy boat over the weekend.
Saw that.
Got a little drunk.
Yeah.
Got a little drunk. It was
incredible.
Yeah, it was a solid weekend. But yeah, I'll be rock climbing on Catalina with fifth graders on my birthday.
There you go.
We're having a party.
Good shit.
Should be all right.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this was fun.
Yeah. Oh, how about you crushing a marathon? That's crazy. I thought you were just doing another half.
No, another marathon.
Dude, that's crazy. You're a machine.
Yeah, I'm trying, man. I'm trying. You know.
I mean, if you can do that and still feel good and not be injury free, just keep pushing it. That's
yeah, awesome. I mean, I was a little sore after, but nothing crazy. After a few days, you know, after 2 days, I was back running. And not feeling any fatigue. It's funny. I have to like run again to get rid of the soreness. You know, if you just sit still,
yeah.
That's how it gets worse, right? So
yeah,
no.
the longer you sit still, the less motivation you'll have to get back after it. That's
absolutely, absolutely. So you know, just keep hammering, keep trucking. Looking into my my next race now. You know, this doesn't stop.
What are you looking at?
I'm looking at a few things. I don't want to reveal it. I'll reveal it off wax, off air, to you. But I don't want to put it. I don't want to put it out.
Big race coming up.
What's that?
Just sent you an email about a big race. You'll look at it and you'll be like, "Oh, that looks so sick!" But it's in Oakland.
Ah, got you.
Big trail race. In time though, you'll build up to these traveling around for them.
Oh, okay. I mean, that's kind of what I'm looking at. So
you stay on this path, keep getting up there.
Yeah. I mean, so the Adirondack Marathon, which I just ran in, it was completely different than New York City. I actually ran the half last year, so I was a little familiar with it, or half familiar with it. The first half, though, which I didn't run last year, all hills. I mean, it was completely uphill, which I was trained for. But, you know, if you're someone from, like, the city who came up to race, who's only used to running in flat surface, I mean, you were fucked. You know, you were probably dragging ass. So I was well-trained for the hills.
Yeah.
I like running up hills. And, yeah, I ran a great race, you know. Good steady pace, didn't stop. And, yeah, man, I felt good after. So, you know.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Just getting started. So.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, bro. Good shit.
We're only going up from here.
Yeah. Yep. Sky's the limit. So, all right. Thanks for doing this.
Yeah, anytime.
A very premature happy birthday. Happy 30th birthday. Unbelievable.
Yeah, it sucks.
Nah, it's fine, man. It's cool. It's all good. 30s are all good, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I feel the same age, which is cool.
Yeah. So, there you go.
All right. Yeah.
All right, brother.
Anything else going on? Are we still on the air?
We're still going. Here, we'll sign off here, and then we'll talk. We'll keep talking.
All right.